23. Proverbs chapter 23. Caden, come back here. Proverbs 23 again. You can pass those out for me, buddy. There you go, sir. Thank you. All righty. Proverbs 23. We've been looking at this passage for the last few weeks, and I'm really thankful. I haven't really heard. I know that I'm preaching to the choir in this room. We have all seen in this room the production of wickedness because of earthly addictions, have we not? I don't think any of us in here has not seen what sugar addiction will do to you, what alcoholic addiction. By the way, alcoholism is not a disease, okay? If it is, then Wolverineism is a disease. Wouldn't you not agree? Spartanism is a disease. Well, my point is, with just the joke, is the fact that you choose to sin. You choose to do this and that. The drunkard chooses to always get his alcohol. The drunkard chooses not to feed his family. The drunkard chooses to get drunk. The drunkard chooses to vomit. The drunkard chooses to be against what God would do. Thank you, sir. Beloved, today, again, one more time, as we look at this idea of the alcohol, it's blasphemous to use the blasphemous use of alcohol. Where would that be? Well, we'll see that here in just a moment. But I need you to understand this morning again, this is the premise that God has given. And the very beginning statement was, God has required that the believer be abstinent from alcohol. Now, to tell you the truth, God requires that you and I be abstinent from sin. We pick and choose what we want to do and not do and say and not say. And there are some sins that we enjoy. Let's just be honest this morning. Instead of trusting God. And I'm one of the world's worst. Today, our last couple days, the Lord's put on my heart about how good he's been to me. Jamie and I have not had a house payment in over 17 years. Even when we worked at Pensacola Christian College all those years, we would have to pay taxes on it. But let's say it was $500 for the rent of the house that they gave us to use. They would put $500 into our paycheck. We would pay taxes on it, and then they would pull the $500 out. In reality, all I ever paid was the taxes for it. The U.S. government came in there in the mid-90s and said that by the school giving their employees housing, that was wrong. The U.S. government is wicked as Satan, because Satan's running it, for one thing. But I get to looking back at all the places that we've been. We were in Perry, Florida. Brother Ralph, I worked at the church, and I worked a job at Foodland, and Brother Ralph paid for my electricity, my water. Faith Baptist Church took care of Jamie and I. We were in Mississippi, Faith Bible Church. They helped us, and I can't believe how good God has been. And I'll sit back and I'll think, I've been called, and I'll be honest with you, the hard part is forsaking family. And in the book of Matthew, there's a verse that mentions that if you leave lands and you leave possessions and you leave family and you leave this for my sake, it'll be rewarded. And, of course, if you're called and you're doing, you don't do it for that reason. But I've watched God reward David when David is right with him. And I've seen the consequences, and I've seen God's judgment and God's spankings when I'm not right with him. Alcohol is another area, just like so many others. So, Brother Kevin, if you'd read chapter 23, 29 through 35 for me. Chapter 23, verses 29 to 35.
Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup. When it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and sneeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, that thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again.
Father, help us to see these truths and not be bitter or angry, but be thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a blasphemous use of alcohol. Brother Kevin, if you go to Matthew 26, I'll let you know in a minute when I want you to read that. There's a blasphemous use of alcohol. There are alcohol containers on believers' kitchen tables right this minute. Maybe not in this room, but I know I can go to a home of a young man that used to be a preacher and a pastor, and he has a bottle of Jack Daniels on her countertop. I've seen it before, and Pastor Charlie and old preachers used to laugh about how they'd go knock on a door and they'd begin to visit somebody and they could hear cans being kicked around and cans being thrown. Hey, be right there, preacher! And much great bunch of noise, but he's also walked into homes that, I told you, in Potts Camp, Mississippi. No, it's not Mississippi, it's Mississippi. There's a difference. Yankees say Mississippi. Folks from Mississippi, they just say Mississippi, okay? Just don't ever want to tell you. It's not Mississippi, it's Mississippi, okay? Anyway, I remember going up and going to visit an aunt, a Bigfoot's aunt. Yeah, I used to hang out with Bigfoot. And Potts Camp was roughly 65 miles to our north. Go up the Natchez Trace. It's on 78 there that goes over to Memphis from Tupelo. Beautiful, beautiful country. I tell you what, the UP to me is more beautiful even some of those southern woods. And again, it goes back to that old white, that birch tree, just some different things I see. But I remember going up there and he the husband, David's uncle, was up there and he offered me, get this, being hospitable. All right. He had some sandwiches out there. He had made up a pimento cheese. I remember that. And then he had some shine out there. And he says, preacher, can I pour you some? He'd already had a few. And I said, no, I'm trying to cut down, okay? Trying to cut down. And he laughs. He said, all right. He's just being hospitable. We went up in there, though, and I can remember his aunt said to me, Ma, the preacher's here. I heard him holler, and we come in and we talk to her a little bit, and I can't believe he's out there. He offered you a shot. I'm going to beat him. And an old southern woman, I'm talking about backwoods southern, I'm going to beat him. He's not supposed to offer a preacher no whiskey. What's wrong with him? I said, well, sister, I'm just trying to, he said, you better tell him no. Yes, ma'am, I'm going to tell him no. Liquor ads have captured all the attention in advertisements everywhere. The world thinks it's normal. There are some, whether it be TV shows or comedians or all this business, using language that ought not be used by a human. But because they're fallen the devil, their daddy, their vocabulary will be such. And I even have heard them say, well, this is what normal people in the real world speak like. No, they don't. No, they don't. You got to have some sense about what you say and how you say it. Liquor ads and all this has captured people's the Super Bowl or whatever else you might be watching. It's amazing to me. Liquor is made, I don't know if you knew this or not, but liquor is made from a distilling process. There are certain ingredients, water, yeast, corn mash, tater mash, sugar is generally the makeup of it. From this distilling process, it is created and made by man's hands and becomes a poison. Beer is much similar, and wine also. It is amazing to me, in wine distilling, you find and you smash up those grapes. In a fermented wine distilling, you smash up those grapes, you put sugar with it, you put yeast with it, you put a cloth over the top, you seal it up so it has a little bit of air that gets to it, and you put it in the darkest place you can find it. And you allow those grapes to rot. Down south, especially from in Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, one of the favorite distilling fruits is muscadine grapes. Y'all ever seen a muscadine grape? Muscadine grape is some of the bigger ones, about the size of a golf ball. They take the seed out of them, and then they'll smash them down. Back home in Clinton, Indiana, they still, at their wine, their Little Italy Festival, there's big baths out there, and they throw grapes on it, and they just have a good old time stomping them out. It's a distilling process. Brother Sunday, evangelist Billy Sunday, back in the mid-1800s, who was a famous baseball player, late 1800s and the early 1900s, around the time that alcohol was outlawed in America, said that, he was a Presbyterian, called liquor distilled damnation. By the way, he's a Presbyterian. Remember that, okay? Remember that thought. He preached salvation by grace through faith. I could have him here to preach. Old-fashioned, hard preaching. He played baseball, so he would slide into home plate on stage, and he'd be a preaching the gospel. Slide into first base, slide into second base. He would hit baseballs. He was a professional baseball player. He actually played for the Chicago White Sox back in the 1870s. Brother Billy Sunday said it was called distilled damnation. The context of the passage, if you remember, regarding any wine will explain if the beverage is unfermented or fermented. We've seen that truth. In the rituals of Israel, and we can go back to the law in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, Leviticus, the unfermented was to be used. And we'll see that here in just a minute. But remember, the context tells us what it is. Brother Josh had brought up a passage, and I'm going to have to study it out to see what's going on over there. But there are, for example, the passage in James, the man that's dying, give him strong drink. If I'm a dying, let me die. Just leave me alone. Let me go to heaven. I'm going to miss you for a minute. Matter of fact, probably take me about a half second, and then I won't miss you anymore. Because when my eyes wake up, the Bible says, I hath not seen or ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man those things that God has for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. I can't wait. Look, you're beautiful today, except for Brother Ray. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus will be such a welcome sight. You know, when I see his face, Brother Josh, all my aches and pains will be gone. Oh, amen. Ain't that good? Sister Rachel is allergic to Brother Ray. So with this in mind, there have a specific blasphemous uses of alcohol. One of them, if you listen and look at the Jewish rituals, a wedding did not have fermented wine in it. Josephus, Manners and Customs in the Bible Lands, many of the Bible believers that I know of that have studied Jewish history and Jewish ritual will tell you that at a wedding, they did not use alcoholic wine. In John chapter 2, the Lord Jesus did not make alcoholic fermented wine. Do you understand that? Man makes it. Man distills it. God doesn't make it. Man does it. Now, what are some of the areas, in one specific area, that is blasphemous? Well, I'd like to show you that. Kevin, if you would, please go to Matthew chapter 26. Yep. Everyone, Matthew 26, verse 26 through 29. If you turn to Matthew 26, verses 26 through 29, there are three places in the good news, in the Gospels, that tell us what we're to have in the Lord's Supper. This is what I'm saying as you turn there. The Lord's Supper is blasphemed every time fermented wine is used. Just 2 miles to my north is a dear brother in Christ. But they use alcohol in the Lord's Supper. That is blasphemous. Kevin, please read Matthew 26, 26 through 29.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink, ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
So what is this here? What in this passage would tell you what kind of wine this is? Well, there's a couple things. Number one, the Lord Jesus. He cannot sin. Number two, if you look there at verse number 29, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this." Everyone read it together with me. "Fruit of the vine." Have y'all ever known grapes to come off the vine fermented? Have y'all ever known of any kind of other things that they would use in order to, that would come off the vine and would be fermented at all? Apples? Pears? No. There has to be a dying go on. There has to become rotten. Why? Now think about this, okay? Why would you put anything rotten in and put it in your body? Rotten. Today, I need y'all to go down to your store. Go down to Myers, and I want everybody to buy rotten apples and eat on them all this week. Your pastor has said to you, if you want to be spiritual, go eat rotten apples. Now, I'm not saying that, but you know that, because they'll do that behind the pulpit. You know, Joel Osteen, he'll just sit there and tell you, you need to put your millions in my offering, pray for God to bless you. Well, then I'm going to stand up here, and I'm going to be just so sweet, and I want you to go buy rotten apples and eat them. We'd all be foolish, wouldn't we? Brother Ray, I want you to go get down those apples. They got worms in them. Isn't that what happens to an apple when it rots? Are y'all with me? Y'all thinking with me here for just a moment? Why would you put anything rotten? This is a fruit of the vine. Now, did you notice something else he said here? Look again. And this is something that most people just kind of pass over. He says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you." Y'all ever seen new wine mentioned? Well, that's straight off the vine. Y'all seeing this? Have y'all ever made grape juice with grapes? Have y'all ever made lemon juice, lemonade with lemons? Yeah. What do you do with that? You crush them. You get as much sweetener out of them as you can. Now, some people like the pulse in them. I'm not a big fan, but I'll do it. I don't have too much trouble with it. I like, you know what? I like fresh. I'm talking fresh orange juice. Don't add anything. Maybe add a little bit of water if you need to, if it's too strong for you. I understand the acidic nature of it. I will take real lemon. I don't do it so much anymore. But I'll take real lemon, take a shot of it. Then I got to finding out that it'll eat your enamel away, and it doesn't do real good on your esophagus. So I like to put it, I put a couple shots in my water. A friend of mine says, "Man, you got a little water with your lemon, don't you?" Orange is the same way. I like fresh. I don't add any sugar to it. You don't need it. In the context, you see the context of this? Mark 14, look at verse 22 of Mark 14. Mark chapter 14, come over and look at verse 22. Kevin, if you'd read that for me. Mark 14, come over to chapter 14 and verse 22.
And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it.
Hold on a second. In Habakkuk and in Proverbs, there's a curse on those that make their neighbor drunk, correct? And we saw that passage the last couple weeks. The Lord Jesus gave it to them. If he'd have gave them alcohol, what would he have been? A sinner and cursed. He's not that. It does not make sense to have real alcoholic wine or beverage in the Lord's Supper. It's blasphemous. All right, Brother Kevin, if you'd finish that, please.
And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily, I say it unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit."
Stop. What is this line? Everybody say it with me together. Fruit of the vine. Context tells you. Okay, go finish that verse.
Yep. Of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God.
New. Did y'all see the word new there twice? Look, and then it's the Lord Jesus. Do you think the Lord Jesus is going to give his disciples? Look, they already got enough mental problems. Do you understand that? They already got enough mental problems. Why would you give fishermen whose minds are blown away every time he does a miracle and he begins to teach them, why would you give them alcohol? The Lord Jesus is not Jim Jones. Y'all remember? Who in here knows who Jim Jones I'm speaking of from Chicago? Raise your hand. Baby, you don't remember that? Jim Jones is the one. Okay, put your hands. 1980s. He was a cult leader in Chicago. They took them all down to New Guinea, maybe, or some. Not New Guinea, but down above South America, there's some island chain right there, and I just lost the name of it. Anyway, took them out there. They put a poison in the red Kool-Aid, and they all drank it, and they died. What religious leader, what so-called God would ever want to kill their people? See, this is what I understand about abortion. The Democrats are absolutely Looney Tune insane when they're killing off taxpayers. And they love April 15th a lot more than they like July 4th. And I guarantee you they hate Memorial Day. Did you notice again, no alcohol? Come with me to Luke 22 now. My boy had to go potty, I guess. I got to teach him everything. Luke chapter, I've got bus driver bladder, Sister Dawn. You know what I mean? Look at Luke 22 with me in verse 14. Everyone, come on. Everyone, some of y'all wake up. Luke chapter 22, look at verse number 14. Luke 22, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire, I have a desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this, and divide it amongst yourselves." Again, it can't be alcohol. He's given it amongst the disciples. "Divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you," verse 18, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto you, woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. Hey, so the Lord Jesus is going to drink alcohol before he dies? Before he's crucified? No. And he's not going to give it to the boys. One other passage, and we won't read it for the sake of time, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says, this is what I've been given. And he talks about the bread and the cup. Are y'all with me on this? Please hear me. There's a lot of heresy in regards to the Lord's Supper. It is blasphemous to use alcohol in the Lord's Supper. It's blasphemous. Listen, it's to be done in remembrance of him. The broken bread to be remembered of his brokenness. And the cup to be remembered of the shed blood. The broken wafer does not become his flesh. And the drink does not become the blood of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't. It ought not be alcoholic. And it ought not be done to get you more saved. Many religions today, many denominations, want to teach that the Lord's Supper just makes you more saved. Honey, brother, if you got saved by the Lord Jesus, you can't get any more saved. Because when he saves you complete. For eternity. Not incomplete and temporarily. Y'all listen and please hear me. If you're watching, this is the demise and the destruction even amongst the independent Baptists, the so-called fundamental people. In these passages, never is fermented wine mentioned or used for the Lord's Supper. Maybe you need a little more convincing. Maybe you might even say, well, you know, this is your opinion, but it's not. Would you come with me to Exodus chapter 12? Exodus chapter 12. Exodus in chapter 12. And let's look at 18. Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 18. I got it, Kevin. Go ahead, you're fine. Exodus chapter 12. And verse number 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. Whoa. Could you imagine no leaven found in your houses? We'll get to that in a minute. None of it in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. And whether he be a stranger or be born in the land, ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. What's so important about leavened bread or unleavened? Does anyone, and I'm gonna answer this question, but I want you to think a second. If you're watching or here in the room, what causes bread to be leavened or unleavened? Yeast. What does a leavening agent do? Poof. Causes it to rise. Hold on, I'm gonna have a spiritual moment here. I love my sweet cakes. That's my Jamie, by the way. Hey, I gave little Debbie her walking papers. Okay? I found out, Dawn, she's two-timing me. I love my sweet cakes. Sure do. And I love her homemade, can I have a hallelujah, amen, homemade rolls. Y'all have had her rolls, amen, hallelujah. Woo-wee. Now the reason why I'm making a big deal so I can get a hug and kiss later. Every time she makes bread, she has to get You like the fast rising yeast, don't you? Is it the fast rising? Is that the one we usually use? So she'll make pizza dough and make bread, and she's got this one of these great big, you know, great big Tupperware bowls. Of course, y'all know I'm exaggerating on how big that thing. But that booger's big. Now, the last time she made pizza, was it pizza that she was making or was it rolls? Anyhow, when I went in there, it was drooped over the bowl. Lid had popped off. It's hanging down the edge. It's on the floor. Opie and I walked in. Opie's eating the bread on the floor, and I'm taking it up, eating the ones that's outside the bowl. Oh, I like that dough. That dough is for a doughboy. Amen? Okay, anyhow, it raises. It's really polluted. It's not of itself. Right? If you take those ingredients without yeast, what do you have? You still have a dough, but it can be a pie dough. You don't use yeast in a pie dough. There are different ingredients in a pie, right? Shell, than is in a bread. Very similar though, correct? So what does that yeast do? It puffs it up. Think about it. Bible tells us not to be puffed up for ourselves, right? Not to abound, but be abased, humbled and meek. What do you do when you add yeast? Well, I guarantee you that flour is puffed up. What do you think alcohol does to you? It makes you boldly ignorant. Are y'all with me? Now, we've been saying today that it's a distilling process. You got to add yeast to it, correct? Got to add sugar. By the way, you take a corn mash, a bourbon, or you take a potato mash, which is a scotch. You add it to the corn, which is the mash that's got the corn in it. You add your yeast to it, add some sugar to it, add so much water to it, let it go through its distilling process. You get different flavoring. But what does it do? It puffs itself up. It turns into colors. Isn't that what Proverbs tells us not to do? Well, even here, in probably one of the most sacred feasts of this Passover week, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And in this, there's no leavening agent. There's no yeast, no fermentation, no distilling. And anyone that has it is kicked out. Do you reckon that goes for drink also? Absolutely. So I want to finish. Look at chapter 13 and verse 7. I'm almost done, I promise. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. And there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee. Neither shall there be leavening seen with thee in all thy quarters. All right. Now I know this is the feasts. And these are 7-day feasts. The feasts are amazing to study. But did you notice the 7 days? Now David will take it probably too far here. But isn't that a week? What happened if I'd followed that policy every day that I live? We have a lot of problem with gluten today, do we not? You know what gluten comes from? Leavening. I love the flatbreads. Y'all like flatbreads? Now, the flatbreads have unleavened. I like the flatbreads. You got to be careful with those, too. I mean, you got to be careful with everything. You know one of my favorite flatbreads is? Tortilla shells. The corn kind of messed me up a little bit, but the flour ones are good. But I like the taste of the corn over the flour. Hey, y'all, are you understanding where I'm coming? It's blasphemous to use alcohol in anything of the church or anything within the believer's life. Usage of alcohol or fermented wine in the believer's life is sin. One last passage, 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, and I'm done, I promise. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Those are the famous words of a preacher. This is my last verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. The usage is blasphemous. It wars against the soul of a believer. Why would you have it in the Lord's Supper? Why would you have it in your home? First Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. It's blasphemous. In reality, alcohol wars against your flesh. Going back to the Proverbs chapter, who hath sorrow, who hath woe, who hath redness of eyes? Hey, who's got bruises and they can't explain it? Whose electricity goes out because the electrical company turned it off? Because the individuals in the home drank, are alcoholic, and they used all their money for that. Kids living in rags. Families not having any food because mom or dad or both are hooked on it. Listen, like it or not, it's blasphemous. Please understand that this morning. That's God's word. That's not David's word. Father, help us. God Almighty, please. We're already sinning enough in our life. God Almighty, help us to clean up some areas in our life, please, so that we can be more righteous people. Lord, thank you for this truth. May we abide by it and live by it and believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand on our feet. Stand on our heads. Let's all stand on our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed if God's dealing with your heart. If you want to at home, stand on your head, you go ahead. But if you're at home and the Lord's working on your heart, this is not David's word. This is God's word. I've told you many, many times, I was a kid that saw the product of alcohol in the home and in relatives' homes. But I've also seen the product of no alcohol in a home. And believe me, God blesses that home. If you're watching in total disagreement with me, I don't care. But you're going to have to be in agreement with God, or you're going to live in wickedness. I hope this has been a help to you.